Follow along with me, John chapter 1, look at verse 1. The Bible says this, this is the inspired word of God. It says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. We'll stop right there for just a moment. The Bible says, and the beginning was the Word, and that word, Word, is capitalized, is talking about a person. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That person that is called the Word is the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 14, we see that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We're talking about Jesus Christ here that came as the Word. The Bible says that He was in the beginning with God. The Bible says all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. What a thought. Jesus Christ, the Creator of all things. In Him was life, verse 4. But look at this next phrase. And the life was the light of men. Jesus came to this earth to be the light of men. The Bible says in verse 5, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. This is an interesting statement. If you were to have a pitch black dark room and one person had a flashlight, those new LED flashlights, they're so small, but they can light up a whole room with just a little bitty battery. If somebody had a flashlight in the dark room and the room was dark and the light turned on, most of us, we'd look at it and say, oh, wow, look, there's the light. But the Bible said Jesus came into a dark world and He was the light, but the darkness didn't even recognize Him as the light. He turned on the spiritual light. He turned on the light because He's the light of the world, but the darkness didn't comprehend Him. Look at verse 9. The Bible says this, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I want to talk to you this morning about walking in the light. But let me ask you this question first. Have you ever gotten lost in the dark? Raise your hand if you've ever been lost in the dark. I have been lost in the dark. I remember one time I was working at a camp. I was on the camp staff and we had a day off. That means all the campers went home. Do you ever wonder what camp staff does when all the campers go home? They go get lost in the woods. So the campers all left. We had a day off. So we decided, several of us, it's probably about six of us, we said, hey, let's go for a hike. We were up in the near the Pecos Wilderness, and there's a river that runs right along the edge of the Pecos Wilderness called the Frijoles River, Bean River. So, hey, let's go on a hike to the Frijoles River. It's the closest river there. So we went on a hike, and we started kind of late in the day because we had to clean up the camp. And, you know, campers leave them. They're just a mess. They leave all trash everywhere, everything. So we had to clean that up. We got it all cleaned up. We went on this hike. It was a great hike. We had a good time, but nobody brought a flashlight, and we stayed out there way too long, and it got dark on us as we were walking back. So as we were walking back to the camp, we weren't anywhere where you could see any distance. You couldn't look and see, hey, there's the camp there. Let's walk to it. There was hills and valleys and mountains. And around here, we'd call them arroyos. And we were walking, and we thought we knew the way back. So the way that this particular trail went, it was a normal trail that you can follow until it got into an arroyo. Now, arroyo is whenever there's two hills, they come down and the water all runs down the hills and it gets to the bottom and it just becomes a sandy bed on the bottom. Other places in other parts of the country have other names for that. I don't know what they are. Around here, they call it an arroyo. All right? So there's these arroyos and we walked on the trail until we got to the arroyo that we thought we walked in on. See, the trail just kind of went up one of the arroyos. The problem was we went up the wrong arroyo and we started following it until it was just obvious this isn't the right trail. When you turn around in the dark and you're in the mountains, you get turned around, you try to go back, eventually you get so turned around you just don't know which way to go. That's a scary feeling. When you're walking at night in the dark, you stumble over things. You fall over things. You don't know which direction you're going. You get lost. I don't like getting lost in the dark. I take a flashlight just about everywhere I go. I used to be scared of the dark when I was a kid, but I'm not anymore because I have a flashlight now. So now I'm not scared of the dark. I have a nightlight. No, I don't really have a nightlight. But I do take a flashlight. We're taking a trip right after church today. We're taking a trip across the country, taking the teens to a youth activity, a youth conference, and I've got a flashlight packed in my bag right next to where my Bible's going to go. I like to be prepared. Have you ever walked through your house at night or a new house? Or you've been in a hotel room or you've been at somebody else's house and the lights are all turned off and it's the middle of the night and you think, I'm thirsty. Or I need to go to that little room down the end of the hallway. And you start walking and it's dark. It's a house that you're not familiar with. I've walked through houses before and just walked smack into a wall, my face just hitting a wall. Have you ever stumbled over something? Have you ever moved the furniture on your wife and she's the one that stumbles over the furniture in the middle of the night? Don't do that. It's just not a great idea. When you walk in the dark, you stumble. When you walk in the dark, you get lost. And we're going to see Jesus saying those same things. Oh, you step on Legos. You ever stepped on Legos in the dark? Ooh, tripping on tables. Look at John chapter 8. We're going to follow the story of Jesus here. John chapter 8, verse 21. I want you to see this. We're going to read several portions of Scripture. I want you to see this development in Jesus' relationship with the people around him. They just kind of were getting mad at him. John chapter 8, verse 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me. And ye shall die in your sins, whether I go, ye cannot come. Now, don't just read this as like we're reading the Bible to get through the Bible. I want you to realize, look at this conversation. Jesus just told the people, you're going to die in your sins. Does that make most people happy or mad? Okay, so they're getting upset with him. Verse 22, then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. They saw Jesus as just a man. Jesus is God. We know he is God. Jesus knew he was God. But the people that were listening to him said, what's this man? He's saying that he's from above and we're from beneath. He's looking down at us. He's judging us. They're getting mad as Jesus is talking. Verse number 24. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. We'll come back to that phrase. If ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Just picture what they are thinking. These Jewish people, these Jewish leaders, these religious leaders, they're getting upset at this man who is saying that they're going to die in their sins. Verse 25. Then said they unto him, they ask him, who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Well, we got to put these two verses together. Look at verse 24. If ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. He said, if you don't believe that I am he, who is the he? Well, in verse 27, you see the answer. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. He was saying, if you don't believe, Jesus said, if you don't believe that I am God, I am the Father, you will die in your sins. They were getting upset at him. Look at John chapter 8, verse 51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast the devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets now sayest, if a man keep my saying, he will never taste of death. He shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead, whom thou makest? Who makest thou thyself? Here's his answer. Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Can you see them getting upset? You say that he's your God, but you sure don't live like that. Verse 55, yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. Whoa. When somebody calls you a liar, what's your first response? Usually not, oh, I love you too. I want you to understand what's going on, this dynamic that's developing here. They are getting upset at Jesus because he's telling them the truth. Let's see. I shall be a liar like unto you, but I know him and keep his say. Verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. I love the statement, but what do you think they thought of it? Before Abraham was, I am? This guy, he's beyond crazy. He's saying that he is God. He's looking down at us. He's saying he's from above, we're from beneath. He's calling us liars. And now he's saying that he lived before Abraham. Notice that Jesus didn't say before Abraham was, I was. He said before Abraham was, I am. Always existed and will always be the same. Look at verse 59. Look at their response. Then took they up stones to cast at him. They're going to kill him. They were going to stone him for blasphemy. They were so mad at him, they were going to do it right there. They weren't going to drag him out of the city. They're right there. They picked up stones to throw at him. But look at the rest of verse 59. They took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. I would have loved to see this. Can you imagine it? He's standing in this crowd. He's teaching them. He's telling them the truth. He is God, and he's trying to convict them of their sins, help them to understand that they need to trust in him to be their Savior. They get so mad at him, they pick up these stones to throw at him, and he hid himself. Now, when we hide ourselves, we hide behind something usually. The Bible says he was in the middle of them. He's right in the middle of them, and he hid himself. Did he turn invisible? I don't know how he did it, but he hid himself. They picked up these stones to throw at him. He just wasn't there. The Bible says he went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. They have become angry with him, angry enough that they want to stone him right there. The more that Jesus taught, the more the people were getting mad at him. He had healed multitudes of people and they had followed him, but they didn't understand who he was. Remember, the light came into the world, but the darkness comprehended it not. They didn't understand this is God with us. Through his teaching, it became more and more clear that he was claiming to be the Son of God. The Jewish leaders accused him of blasphemy. And eventually they decided to kill him. Now, we know that Jesus came to die, but can you imagine the fear that his disciples must have had? Now, we don't think about them sometimes. They took up stones to cast at Jesus, and Jesus hid himself and he was gone. But you've got these disciples, not just the 12 apostles, but you've got all these disciples. They're following him. Can you imagine if they want to kill him for what he's saying? We are identifying with him. What are they going to do to us? Now, I want you to think from their perspective for the rest of the story. Look at chapter 10, verse 24. Chapter 10, verse 24 of John. We're following along this story. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. There are so many things that they could have taken as insults here. Jesus didn't mean it as insults. He's just telling them the truth. But you know how when you tell somebody the truth, sometimes they can get offended? That's exactly what's happening here. He said, I told you, and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Are your eyeballs getting tired yet? All right. We've got some a little bit more to read here. Can you follow along? Can you stick along here with me? I want you to see this story because there's a principle right here at the end of this that I want you to get. It's going to help you, okay? So look at John chapter 10, verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now you got to remember, he's talking to the Jews. He's talking about his sheep, the ones that hear his voice. Now look at the very next statement. He said, I and my Father are one. Here's a man. They do not recognize him as God or even as the Son of God. And he says to them, I and my Father, or I am God, me and God are one. We are the same. Look what they did in the next verse. John chapter 10, verse 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. This is the second time. Jesus answered, he didn't leave this time. Jesus answered, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? It's like slap him in the face, kind of. Which one of these good works are you stoning me for? What is their answer? Well, we're stoning you for this good work and this good work. No, what did they say? Not for a good work. They answer. Let's see, verse 33. Then the Jews answered him, saying, for good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Well, he was God. He is God. They just didn't recognize the light. Hang in here. There's an amazing principle coming right around the corner, okay? Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods, if ye called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken? Say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works that ye may know, and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. Listen, just look at the miracles that I'm doing. You will see, I am in the Father, the Father is in me, I am God. Verse 39, therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John had first baptized, and there he abode. Okay, so you get the picture. He's been preaching the truth. They are furious at him. I've been mad at people before, but never this mad. I got so mad at a kid named Jason one time. We were sitting at the lunch table in the lunchroom, and I got so mad at him. He was doing something. He did something to make me mad. He got up and ran, and I picked up the mustard container that was on there, and I threw it as hard as I could at Jason, and it splattered all over the door and the wall and the fence. I've been mad at people before, but not this mad. Over and over, the Jews, I had to clean up the mustard and apologize to Jason. Over and over, the Jews tried to kill Jesus, but he always escaped. The last time they tried to kill him, what's he do? He leaves the area. He went back to where John was baptizing on the other side of the Jordan River, out in the wilderness. So he's hiding. If he goes back to Jerusalem, they're going to kill him. He knows that. If he goes back anywhere near Jerusalem, into this area called Judea, they're going to kill him. He's gone up. He's gone over past the Jordan River. He's kind of out in the wilderness, kind of just living out here for a while so that they don't kill him. While he's in the wilderness, somebody comes to him and tells him that his friend Lazarus is sick. John chapter 11 tells us the story about Lazarus. It's got the shortest chapter in the Bible, John chapter 11, verse 35. But look at John chapter 11, verse 1. Jesus and his disciples, they're in the wilderness. They're hiding there. Because if they go back to Judea, the Jews are going to kill him. They've already demonstrated several times they want to stone him. They've made a covenant with each other. We're going to kill him if we see him. He's in the wilderness, but look at chapter 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Now, Bethany's right next to Jerusalem. If he goes to Bethany to help Lazarus, he's going to get stoned. He's going to get killed. You just got to understand, he's hiding out in the wilderness to save his life, but if he goes back there, he's in trouble. John 11, 2. Is that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick? Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, he said to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples saying to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Now, can you imagine the fear in the disciples' hearts as they waited to hear his answer? They're living out here. They're hiding out. Somebody comes and says, Jesus, Lazarus is sick. And the disciples are saying, oh, don't go. Oh, don't go. Let's don't go back. In fact, Thomas, in a minute, he says, let us go with him that we may die with him. You'll see that here in just a moment. But can you imagine their fear, thinking, if we go back to Jerusalem, they're going to kill him. There's going to be this battle, and we're going to die too. They're going to kill him. They're going to kill us. We can't go back to Jerusalem. Could you imagine the 2 days? He waited 2 days to give an answer. If the Jews wanted to kill Jesus, they'd surely destroy his followers. Jesus' first response was comforting to the disciples. He said, this sickness is not unto death. The disciples, here's what I think they thought. Whew, that was close. I thought we were going to have to go back to Judea to heal Lazarus, because Jesus goes and he heals people. When somebody says, hey, can you heal my daughter? Can you heal my servant? Can you heal Lazarus? He goes. But Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death. 2 days passed. Then out of nowhere, Jesus says, let us go into Judea again. 2 days passed. They thought they'd gotten past it, but he says, let's go back. I need to go heal Lazarus. The disciples tried to talk him out of it. Then Jesus told them why they needed to go back. Here it is in verse 11. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of his sleep. Then said the disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Understanding, if they go back, they're probably going to die with him. So they said, God, he's fine. Lord, he's fine. If he's sleeping, he's going to be fine. No, we know that he died. And Jesus is talking about him being dead, but the disciples don't know that. Jesus said he's sleeping, and he would often use that to talk about a believer who's dead. Then, verse 14, then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. And here's Thomas. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. The disciples really thought this would be their last trip to Judea. Thomas really thought he's going to die with Jesus once the Jews realized that Jesus had come back near Jerusalem. And right in the middle of the story, Jesus teaches his disciples a truth that would help them make right decisions, even when other people thought they were making bad decisions. And this is the principle that I want you to get today. All right? You ready for this? I hope I've been able to convince you of this. This is big, okay? John 11:11, he says we need to go back. And he said, Lazarus is dead. They say, let's go back with him. Look at chapter 11, verse 9. I skipped over that for a reason. Jesus answered. This is right in the middle of the discussion about whether they're going to go back to heal Lazarus or not. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. If you travel during the day, you won't stumble because you have light. I mean, this is pretty obvious. Jesus is making an obvious statement here. You can see where you're going. Other people see where you're going. There's no doubting. There's no wondering. Nobody thinks you're crazy when you walk during the daytime. You're walking at a good time to be walking. Nobody looks at you and says, how come you forgot your flashlight? How come you're walking in the dark? Why don't you wait till daytime to make this trip? Nobody asks you questions like that because you're walking during the day. It's obvious. You're not going to trip and fall. So Jesus said, if any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not because he seeth the light of the world. But look what he says next. But if a man walk in the light, he stumbleth. I'm sorry. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth because there is no light in him. If you walk during the day, you're not going to stumble. It's going to be fine. But if you walk at night, you're going to stumble because you don't have a light. If you walk at night, you risk falling because you don't have a light. People think you're crazy. People don't understand why you'd risk failure by walking in the dark. Now, this probably has a different application than you think, so listen carefully. The disciples thought Jesus was crazy because he wanted to go back to Bethany right outside of Jerusalem. It didn't make sense. Why would he go where they had tried several times to stone him? Why would Jesus do something that didn't make sense? Why would he put himself and all of his followers in danger? Why would Jesus walk in the dark? Why would he do something that doesn't make sense to everybody? But Jesus wasn't walking in the dark. Now, you got to understand, when I say walking in the dark, I'm not talking about walking back to Bethany at night. I'm talking about walking a pathway that nobody else understands. Doesn't make sense to anybody else. Why would Jesus walk back to Bethany when they're going to stone him? This doesn't make sense to us. It doesn't make sense to anybody. Why would you do this? Jesus wasn't walking in the dark. It was dark, but Jesus had a light that others couldn't see. Look at those two verses again. Jesus answered. It's John 11:9. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not because he seeth the light of this world. That's the sun. But if any man walk in the night, he stumbleth because there is no light in him. When you walk during the day, you have light of the sun to guide you. The sun's external. The sun's on the outside. It lights your path and everyone else's path as well. But when you walk at night, you stumble because there's no external light. But now follow with me. What if you had an internal light? Now we're not talking about just walking like when it's dark at nighttime, but we're talking about whenever it doesn't make sense. Walking down a pathway that oftentimes we'll talk about the pathway of our life and walking down this pathway, we don't see the end of it. Maybe it's a dark path that we can't see tomorrow. We can't see next week. That's the kind of path we're talking about. What if you had a light inside? A light that guided you even when nobody else could see it. Walking in the dark with an internal light is walking by faith. And Jesus was saying, I know that to do this doesn't make sense, but I know where I'm going. I know what I'm supposed to do. I know because I am the light of the world. Even when God's plan doesn't make sense to you or to anyone else, you can still follow the path God leads you on because He is the light. You may have a dark path ahead of you. It may be the path that God wants you to go. Sometimes we say, well, that's a dark path. That's not where God wants me to go. Sometimes the dark path is where God wants you to go. The place where you don't see the future. You don't know how you're going to make it. Whenever you decide, I'm going to serve God with my life. I'm going to give Him everything. I'm going to dedicate everything I have to Him. And I'm going to go down that path. That's a dark path. You don't know what's going to be around the corner. You don't know what's going to happen a week from now, 10 years from now. You don't see that. That is a dark path, but you can walk down that path with the light of the world and see where you're going to go. You don't need to see where you're going to go tomorrow. You don't need to see where you're going to go next week. You just need to see the next step. And that path of the light that is in you, the light of this world will light your path. Even when God's plan doesn't make sense to someone else, you can follow the path God leads you on because He's the light. When people around you question your fanatical decision to follow Christ, you can press forward without fear because the light of the world is guiding you. Other people won't understand your decision to walk by faith, but they didn't understand Jesus either. When I was 10 years old, God called me to preach, and I know God called me to preach as a 10-year-old boy. He doesn't always call the same people at the same age, but I was 10 when He called me to preach. I was 18 years old when I went off to Bible college to just say, God, I'll do whatever You want me to do. I'll be a preacher, I'll be a missionary, whatever You want me to do. And God has guided every step of the way. It was dark. I don't know where I was going. I remember driving out of my parents' driveway, my sister and I, in our club, it was a 1983 club wagon van, and driving out, just bawling my eyes out, thinking, this is the scariest, hardest thing I've ever done in my life, and thinking, this is a dark path. John 1:5, the Bible says, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. John chapter 9, verse 5, Jesus says this, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I am come a light unto the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. No matter how dark and confusing the world is for everyone else, you can have clarity of decision if you stay trusting in God's leading. People are going to question your faith. They'll ridicule you for wasting so much of your time on religion. People will mock you for giving your money to a church. Sometimes you might even question yourself. When you see your neighbor's expensive toys and you see them playing with them on Sundays instead of going to church, you might think, well, I don't, maybe they've got it and I'm wrong. If you choose to serve God by serving in a ministry, somebody's going to tell you that you're wasting your time. If you serve on a bus route or you teach a class or if you do anything beyond just coming to church and being fed, maybe a family member, somebody, friend or coworker is going to question you for wasting your time. Remember this, don't question in the night what God led you to do in the light. It doesn't make sense to the rest of the world. But your responsibility is to follow God's path for your life. If God calls you to serve Him, then walk in the light of that calling no matter what other people think. 2 Corinthians 5:7, the Bible says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Part of Christian maturity is learning to allow the Holy Spirit of God to lead you. Sometimes the path God wants us to walk is clear. The sun's shining, the birds are singing, the flowers are blooming. The pathway's clear. And sometimes it's obvious. But sometimes the path God has for you is through the wilderness, in the dark. And the only way to get to where you need to go is to walk through this dark path and follow the internal light, which is the leading of the Holy Spirit. Christ in you. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And He wants to lead you every day, every step of the way. So here's the question. Are you a daytime-only Christian? Do you only do the things that are popular in modern Christianity? All the stuff that all the big-name Christians do, the TV Christians, the radio Christians, the popular Christians, is that the kind of Christian that you are? The kind of Christian that everybody is? Nominal Christian is usually what we would call that. And you do all the stuff that all the Christians do. All the different things that all the different Christians, you know, a lot of Christians say it's okay to drink, it's okay to do all this, it's okay to, all this stuff, it's okay to do. And we're liberated by grace. You can do all these. You can do it, you know, all this stuff you could, but that's not what the Bible teaches. What kind of Christian are you? Are you a daytime Christian? Do you want to simply live an easy life in the sun? Now, listen to this and we're done. Or are you willing to make a difference in the dark? Daytime Christian is the easy path. Daytime Christian is the one that everybody, that's an obvious decision. Of course you do that. But are you willing to make a difference in the dark? In order to make a difference in the dark, you've got to go into the dark. You've got to carry the light of the world with you. I want to challenge you to be beyond just a daytime Christian. Are you a Christian that's willing to step out by faith into a lost and dark world led by the internal light of the Holy Spirit? People may not understand you. People may ridicule you. People may try to change your mind. But if God leads you into the darkness, He'll use you to bring light into someone's world. Jesus said, listen, I know what I'm doing. If a man walks in the day, you can see where you're going. You're not going to stumble because there's the light of the world, the sun. But if you walk at night, you're going to stumble if you don't have that light. I want to challenge you. Are you willing to step out of a comfort zone? You're willing to take that step by faith and say, God, I want to do what you want me to do. If it means going down a dark path, I'll go down that dark path as you go with me. Moses said that to God. Moses said, God, I'll go, but only go with me. My challenge to you is this. This is not really a message just for a, well, I guess it's a message for any kind of Christian, but a mature Christian is going to take this and say, okay, I'll do that. I'm willing to walk into the darkness. I'm willing to do something out of my comfort zone because I know I have the light of this world. I have Jesus with me. Father, thank you for letting us take this time this morning. The easy path is the path that's lit from the outside. It's the path that everybody feels like, yeah, that's kind of normal. That's right. Everybody does that. What we saw here is that you were willing to go back to make a difference for a man. You healed him. You raised him from the dead. But in order to do that, you had to go against what everybody else thought. You had to do something that didn't make sense to anybody around you. You had to walk a dark path. But we know it wasn't dark because you are the light of the world. And Lord, as you call us to walk dark paths sometimes, I pray that we would be willing to do it, knowing that you are the light of the world, knowing that you do light our paths and that you are the direction, the answers that we need. Lord, I don't know everybody's heart this morning, and I don't know what anybody might be struggling with, but I imagine there's someone here this morning that's facing a decision, whether they're going to just stay in the light, stay on the easy path, or whether they're going to take a dark path that they know is your will. But they're deciding, they're trying to make a decision. Am I going to do God's will? Because that seems hard. Am I going to do that God's will? Because nobody understands it. Lord, I pray that this morning you'd give that person the courage, the peace that they need to walk through the dark path, to do something for you, to make a difference, to bring light to somebody.